Well, it's been a pleasure, a joy, edification to be worshiping with you guys today. Again, grateful for opportunity to bring another lesson. We're taking a look at the second part of Psalm 101. The idea of not only should we love righteousness, but we also need to hate evil. Hate is not a word that we like in our culture today. Our culture is strong about accepting, appreciating, enjoying everything. But that's not entirely biblical. There are psalmists, there are prophets. God himself speaks about things which his soul hates. It's even stronger. We need to love people. We need to love each other. But there are some evil things in this world that we need to be emboldened to hate. And so we can learn a lesson here from David. And he hates the work of those who fall away. Now, take a look at Psalm 97, verse 10. It says, "Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserve the souls of his godly ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked." So when it comes to hating evil, we need to hate the work produced by those who have fallen away. This would be true of David. David's trying to run a nation, tried to keep his nation good and pure. But there would be people who fall away from Yahweh, from Jehovah. And what would they do? They would promote idolatry within the land. They would promote the oppression of weaker people, finding ways to oppress those who are in need for their own benefit. There will be corrupt business, using deceitful scales and things of that nature. And David, who's trying to, you know, govern this, his good nation, would hate the people who are doing these things and the things that they are doing. And in the same way, we need to hate the works produced by the ungodly. I am a very avid music listener, as I've said a lot yesterday. My early 20s is when I fully discovered, music from the 60s. I quickly learned that that's probably the best decade of music in Western civilization. Beatles and Beach Boys and Dylan and so forth. It's also interesting, that is a decade in which our nation took a steep decline in our moral standards. Another perspective, we've improved as a country in some things due to some of the messages promoted. We are more accepting and loving of different races and people from different backgrounds. But we are also a lot more sexually immoral and corrupt and godless. And I think a lot of it has to do with, godlessness that was promoted in that kind of culture. And we think about the work that those who fall away are producing. We think about pornography in our world today and the absolute devastation that it is accomplishing in not just the Christian world, but in all people. There are people who don't believe in God who are trying to escape the throes of the addiction of pornography. And we need to hate that these things exist. We need to hate that there are people who are making lots of money, becoming very rich by enslaving people to these corrupt addictions and things that are targeted towards our young people as well. So do we hate the works produced by these people, or are we entertained by them? As I said yesterday, the problem of media is that the majority of media is made by ungodly people. It is made to entertain a majority ungodly people. So the majority of media is going to be ungodly itself, and yet very often we're okay with the majority of that media. We enter into it thinking, I can enjoy most of it. There might be some exceptions that I should stay away from. But for the most part, it's all fine. But I don't think that's the case. I think we need to approach the majority of media assuming that this is not going to be the kind of things that we should be eager to partake in. And there might be some exceptions that we get to enjoy in. And so, what about your household? What about your own choices? Are you enjoying and being entertained by godless media? Do your children see you being entertained and enjoying media that is not godly? We need to hate these things rather than be entertained by them. Another thing David says in Psalm 101, says, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. David did not want this evil to get a hold of him and to affect him. There's always a temptation to godlessness. I mean, David could become a lot richer and have a lot more beautiful structures if he would oppress his people, enslave them, take advantage of them more, to build him greater structures and do more work for him. He could build stronger political alliances by intermarrying with pagan kings and marrying their pagan daughters and things. But we're mindful Solomon, who did just that. Solomon was a lot richer than David. Solomon had a lot more power than David. But Solomon also allowed the wickedness to grab a hold of him. And he became someone who fell away. And he produced works of godlessness. He built idol temples in his own land because the godlessness got a grip and got a hold on him. But what about us? Are we going to allow that to happen to ourselves? A big way in which we allow media to grab a hold of us and to have its grip on us is by how big of a part of our life it becomes. And this is really something that I haven't been able to address in my lessons as much as I need to. And that's the amount of media that we consume. How often we consume it. We become very addicted to media. I mentioned yesterday that there's a new term in society, binge watching. I don't think that existed more than like 5-6 years ago. But now we binge watch. And so we watch 5, 6, 7 episodes of a particular show in a row because we can. And it seems like we're letting media grab a hold of us. Sports, we don't often think about sports as being too much a form of media, but we watch sports on TV, we listen to sports podcasts, we follow sports and apps and articles and things. We can really allow sports to get a hold of us, and we can memorize lots and lots and lots of stats, which are very fun to have fake arguments with our friends about, and it's very entertaining. But then, when's the last time we were memorizing verses of scripture, memorizing, you know, names of all the kings in the Old Testament, having healthy arguments with our other brothers about issues and things in Scripture? Think about social media. Social media can really grab a hold of us. We can become very addicted to the validation we receive in social media. How frequently are we posting a picture of our life, trying to present our life as something good and fulfilling, and going back to see if people are liking and supporting this presentation of our life? We post pictures of ourselves because we need people to affirm that we look the way that we want to look or that we're important and things. We become very addicted to the need for validation through social media. How addicted are our kids to media? We know about kids and cell phones, and you know, in New York, you can go past, there's just public schools all around. I'm walking past a public school on my way to go move the car for street cleaning, and there's these kids waiting for school, and they're all in different groups, and they're all on the phones. They're quiet, that's nice, but everybody is just glued to their phone. How much are our kids obsessed with music groups or the lives of celebrities? How much do our toddlers watch YouTube? I like YouTube. I do. There's a lot of dumb things you can waste your time on YouTube that I find to be enjoyable. I didn't start watching YouTube till like 3-4 years ago, and I find it to be addicting. I don't have kids, and I can't fully relate to the appeal of a YouTube babysitter. And in New York, we see a lot of it. You give your kids the YouTube, and they'll be good for the rest of the day. That's appealing. But I'm telling you, like, two things. YouTube is a dark place full of weird stuff. There are people who are trying to take advantage of your children to get their views, because that gets them ad revenue, and you could do a little bit of research, and if your kids are on YouTube unmonitored, it's not going to be a good thing at all. You need to be very, very, very mindful of that. But I would also suggest this. There is this mental addiction we get to whatever chemicals are flowing through our brains when we go through these things. If those of you who know what memes are, I talked about memes a little bit yesterday, the images, stupid jokes people make. They're very addicting. It feels like eating an M&M. When's the last time you had one M&M, right? Ever? No. You have a handful of M&Ms. You're like, well, one more handful of M&Ms, because it just, you get that good feeling with it. And with memes, with YouTube videos and things like that, your kids get addicted to the rush of chemicals through their head as they see the humor, as they see the entertainment, as they see the toys and this and this and this. If our toddlers, if our young people are just getting used to YouTube and things like that, I think it's building a very unhealthy mental habit and pattern that I think is going to have a big impact on these generations as we see them growing up. We need to be very aware of that and take great responsibility for that. We're not allowed to let ourselves be addicted. We are not allowed to let our children be addicted. Don't give them that responsibility to monitor and be in control of their media consumption and how much they consume. When I was 6, we got a Nintendo, had a Sega Genesis and a PlayStation, and in high school and things, my mom was gracious enough to buy us that, but she was even more gracious to heavily limit the amount that we were allowed to play video games growing up. Video games are pretty fun, and they are extremely addicting. Now they make video games where you live in your little world, and you can drop, I don't know, like hundreds of hours living in that world. There was a game I had when I was in high school to just go through the whole plot. You're talking 40 hours to beat that game. Okay, you spread that 40 hours over however many weeks and so forth. Okay, that's fine. But we have people spending 40 hours in video games in a week or two, getting lost in these worlds because it's so entertaining and so addictive. We're not allowed to let our kids play as much video games as they want to. Like, don't let them do that. It's too much fun. They're not going to want to come away from that. You need to monitor and control that. And a big reason why we cannot let media get a grip on us and consume us and let us be addicted, whether it's the sports or the video games or whatever, is really because it's all pretty much garbage. It's not all evil. There's just healthy, fun stuff that we can enjoy. But it has zero value whatsoever. We're allowed to enjoy some things of zero value whatsoever, but don't enjoy things that have zero value with too much of your time. 2 Peter 3:11 says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If these things are going to be ruined and have zero benefit, then why are you wasting so much of your time doing that? Why don't you worry about, I don't know, being holy? That goes for sports. Like, it's fine to waste lots of time being into sports and remembering and memorizing all this stuff and talking about it, but it's all going to be destroyed and mean absolutely nothing. And young people, if we're trying to accomplish, you know, beat these games 100% and get all the accomplishments and things, it feels good. But nobody cares. And a couple months later when the game is irrelevant, people care even less. And so we should not be wasting too much time with these things when we've got holiness to achieve and to accomplish. Paul says in Philippians 3:7, he says his things, and Paul's things were actually pretty cool. He was successful, he was famous, he was important, he was going places. In terms of an earthly standpoint, his stuff was a little bit more valuable than sports knowledge and video game accomplishments. But he says, listen, that stuff is loss in comparison to knowing Christ. Loss means it was cutting into his spiritual bank account. If he focuses on these things, and he's not going to be able to focus on the things that really matter, it's dead weight. It's holding him back. He says, this is a negative thing. He says later, it's garbage in comparison to knowing Christ. And when he mentions knowing Christ, he's talking about suffering like Christ suffered. And yet here we are valuing things that have no benefit whatsoever. We need to be very, very, very careful and not allow media to take up too much a part of our lives. David also says that he's going to set no worthless thing before him. And that, brothers and sisters, is a pretty good commitment for us to make. Don't set something worthless before you. Why do we choose to put godlessness in front of us, in our homes? We spend money on it. We spend time on it so we can pursue godless things, be entertained by them. Titus 2 says, the grace of God has appeared. That's pretty good. Jesus Christ, He appeared. He's the manifestation of God's grace. Oh, He brought salvation to all. That's pretty cool. To instruct us to deny ungodliness. God's grace has appeared in the form of Jesus to save us. It's time that we start saying, you know what? Godless things that are the opposite of Jesus Christ are not really that appealing to me anymore. I'm not that interested in that. Okay, there are some entertaining things going on there, but I don't really value that anymore. Let me put that aside. We also can't continue to allow godless things to come before us on accident. There's some room for ignorance and for some mistakes because the world's trying to get at us as much as possible. Things are going to happen. But we allow accidents to happen way too often. We go to channels where we know that there's stuff that's not great, but this show might not be that bad. But then something bad's on and we say, oh, well, you know. And then we watch the next episode and say, well, this one might not be bad. And then the same thing happens. Or we carelessly browse the internet, not really being careful about where we're going. And being careless on the internet, you are going to be confronted by wicked and evil things. We can't be so ignorant. We can't be so careless. We need to be more vigilant and decisive to make sure these things don't come before us. We do a lot of things to make sure we don't get sick. New York, not the cleanest place. We've also got a lot of kids in church. So when our church gets sick, like our whole church gets sick, it's a problem. And so, you know, you see the kid or you hear the news, they were sick. And 2 weeks later, you're still staying away from that kid because you don't know. And you're washing your hands and things. We do a lot. Go the extra mile to avoid becoming sick. Because we're not taking chances. You know, we take a lot of chances when it comes to allowing ourselves to be contaminated by godless things in our own homes. It's not good. Sometimes I hear the idea discussed, though, about sheltering our children. And we get concerned about whether or not we're sheltering our children. And sometimes we think if we should, we can justify some of this stuff because we don't want to shelter our children. I think there's a lot to be considered there. Sheltering our young people is not a good idea. But sheltering is the idea of you're trying to present a world to them that is inaccurate. You're trying to present the idea that there is not evil around them. And that they don't need to be prepared to interact and confront and respond to this evil, just hiding them from that. We need to allow our young people to be exposed to the evil of the world around them. But I would suggest letting them be exposed to the evil of the world around them and not in their own homes. There's a difference between allowing them to be exposed to evil versus endorsing that evil in my home. If I choose to put that on my TV or allow them to go to this movie, I'm not exposing them. I'm saying this is okay. Yeah, it's bad, but it's still okay. It's a very different message. If your kids are on a rec soccer league, you speak to them. Not all these kids are going to be good people. And so when they see things and hear things, and they tell you about that, then you give them good instruction about, okay, that's true. People talk this way and do these things, but we as Christians, it's different. Or when you go to the games and you see certain behaviors, they see it too, but then you address it. You're not endorsing that behavior. They're being exposed to it and then you're handling it. But when you say, hey, let's be entertained by this wicked behavior, it's a very, very different message. So I think we should consider that. Some tools for us to consider, and being wiser about our media consumption. A couple of websites. One website, which the name's not there, I'm not sure why, is kidsinmind.com. Kids-in-mind.com. And what that website does is it gives you very detailed descriptions and numerical scores of contents and films coming out in theaters. We have Avengers Endgame, and you can see it has a level 1 or for sex and nudity. What is that? 6 in violence and gore, and a 4 in language. And then you read this whole big report, and here's what it says about the language. And you can see they've got the S word 15 times, anatomical terms, mild obscenities is the word, the H word, how many times it uses the Lord's name in vain, and so forth. You can know specifically what's in the movies before sending your kids to go see that. And you can decide if these movies are really as clean as they should be, or if you say, well, son or daughter, based on this information here, this is a decision we're making about that. Or if you know that there's a message in that movie ahead of time, you can speak about these things. But don't be blind and careless and just say, yes, all the other Christian kids are doing it. It shouldn't be a big deal. Be more careful. Another website, vidangel.com. It's another subscription you can get online. There's an app you can use. And basically, it links up to your Netflix or your Amazon Prime Video accounts. And they provide filters for not everything, but a good bit of stuff. And you can turn off audio. It has lists of all the bad words that are going to be said. You can turn it off and it's going to bleep it out for you. It has scenes, immodesty or sex and things. You can cut out those scenes entirely. Obviously, it's not going to work for every film or every show, so you still need to use your judgment. But there are some shows and some entertainment that, for the most part, it's fine. It has a good message. It just kind of gets ruined by some words here and there. Again, we've got some resources where we can prove to our kids, you know, we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to invite that in our home. We're going to spend some extra money. We're going to take a stand and not allow that. I think that can go a long way. And again, it's not going to fix everything. I mentioned yesterday that, bizarrely, this website has 50 Shades of Grey on it, which is a movie just that's only about bad sexual things. And so I don't know how you're going to filter that out. So again, we need our judgment with that. But these things are kind of helpful. David also says, in verse 7 here, actually, I'm going to read that. Let me just share real quick. I'm going to get my psalm here. I thought I had it in my notes. I don't. Psalm 101, verse 7. It's very professional. All right, Psalm 101, 7 says, he who practices deceit shall not... Actually, it's right here. There we go. No, it's not. It was on the board the whole time. Here you go. He says, he who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. David says, not in my house. These wicked people, they're not going to stay in my house. We need to be very aggressive in protecting our homes. We have locks on our doors because we don't want anybody just coming in. One of your young ladies yesterday in class, when I asked about social media and some things we should be concerned about, she wisely pointed out that we need to block the creeps. And that's true. There's a lot of creeps out there. They're all online, and we're all connected to them in some creepy way, and we need to block the creeps. We go to school with creeps. We work with creeps. A lot of not great people out there. But the internet gives us access to all of them and all of them access to us. We need to protect our homes and to protect our people. One of the biggest dangers that we have in the modern era of media is privacy and accessibility. We all have our own phones. We have our own computers. It used to be, don't let your kid have a TV in his room. Only TV in the family room so we know what we're watching. And then, that's basically it. But if we all have our own portal to the entire world in our back pockets, are you going to let your children have that? Are you going to allow yourself to have that? With no accountability and no protection? It's foolishness. It's not a responsibility that our children should handle. It's not a responsibility that we should handle. Let's see if I have this here. There's another website, an application called CovenantEyes.com. It's helpful. It's a site, a subscription, an annual subscription you could pay for, and it does filtering. It'll block sites and things, typical stuff like that. Another thing it does is it provides accountability reports. And so all of your browsing and stuff, it's going to send a report, take screenshots of things you're doing online and so forth. It sends an accountability report to a person of your choice. As a younger man, my early 20s, my brother spoke to me about this website, and that was something that at that time I needed. And I got that, and he was my accountability partner. And it took away all the privacy and all the secrecy of what I was doing, and it changed my choices significantly. Romans 13 tells us that we need to make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Don't make it easier for sin to happen. That's what provision is. If you're going to go on a trip, you think ahead. What do I need to have so I can go on this trip? Well, sin is trying to do everything it can to make it easier for you to commit that sin. If we have privacy and secrecy and no accountability, that makes it a lot easier for sin to happen. You are not allowed to let your children have a lack of protection, that amount of privacy, and that's just not fair to them. I grew up in the age where in middle school and high school, it took like 5 minutes to check my email and it made that awful noise. I'm happy that that was my generation. I'm very glad I didn't grow up with the kind of internet that we have today. It's a dangerous and terrible place. As parents, we need to make sure we're keeping up to date with the reality of these things, the reality of these dangers, the reality of all the apps that they have and all the different apps and what they do, what their friends are sending to them. Your children, you owe it to your children to protect them in this way. But this is not just a young people thing. This is an everybody thing. And there are older people, and I know older men, I know older respectful men that have had issues, have had struggles, and who use applications like this to take away the secrecy and the privacy. We need to be able to speak about these things, recognize they exist, and deal with them instead of just trying to be ignorant. That's a good point I can't make. Think about the last thing David says here in verse 8. He says, every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. David says, listen, anybody that's going to come in here and threaten the holiness of my people, you know, I'm going to destroy that and remove that. Before we end, let's talk about David's impurity. It sounds strange to focus on David and how he's an example of impurity, when probably a lot of us might already be familiar with his adultery that he committed with Bathsheba. It wasn't in private, but he had all the power in the world, and he could still do whatever he wanted. And he conspired and he killed her husband so that his sin would not be exposed. It was a great moment of impurity in his life. But what was even worse about that is it affected his children. Later on, one of his sons rapes his half-sister, another one of David's daughters. And as soon as he rapes her, he rejects her and sends her away. It was a terrible and a shameful thing. And it specifically says and mentions that David didn't really do anything about it at all. He heard about it, he was mad about it, and that's it. No response. And we don't know this, but it's hard for me to not imagine that. I wonder if David's sinful past crippled him and his ability to address and cut off this sin from his land and from his family. How could he, such a sinner, address the sexual immorality of his son? So he didn't. Well, the full brother of Tamar, who was raped, Absalom, he becomes angry about this. Even angrier that his father does something about it, he kills his half-brother who had raped Tamar. And then he steals the kingdom away from his father David, and he sleeps with all of his father David's concubines. It was an awful situation, an awful mess, and lots of immorality. That's the situation we're going to find ourselves in if we don't take a strong stance to cut off and remove from our families, remove from our personal lives, remove from whatever is within our control, all the godlessness that we can. Are we inviting it into our homes? Or are we working hard to cut it off? It's not just about us, it's about those under our influence as well. And God's going to hold us responsible for that. I really, really appreciate your good attention. I know I went a little bit over my time limit. Thank you for your graciousness. This is important stuff. I know a lot of you very little, but this congregation has very much encouraged me. And from my experience here, I feel very strongly that there are good people and good parents working hard to lead their children and encourage all of one another to pursue the Lord and pursue purity. May God bless us in that pursuit. And to the Father, through Jesus Christ, may His name be praised. Thank you.